We still have no answers on the future for Wisconsin's top elections administrator, despite a state Senate subcommittee meeting yesterday. It's Wednesday, August 30th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Republicans are introducing a state assembly bill that would lower the income tax rate for Wisconsinites of a certain tax bracket. And workers of an Appleton hospital are protesting. Joe Schultz will have more on why they're organizing. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Today makes staying current on Wisconsin news easy. You can enjoy these 10 minutes of statewide news with context thanks to community support. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
A Republican-controlled Senate committee held a public hearing yesterday about whether Megan Wolf should be reconfirmed as Wisconsin's top election administrator. But as Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, Wolf herself did not appear. This after Democratic Attorney General Josh Call said the whole process is illegal.
In a letter last week, Call said that the state Senate cannot undertake confirmation proceedings for Wolf because her position is not vacant and she has not been renominated. Senator Mark Spreitzer, a Democrat from Beloit, repeated that point at the public hearing.
This committee cannot take up a nomination that has not been made.
Committee Republicans said they're fulfilling their legislative duties. The public hearing primarily featured election deniers, including Michael Gableman, who ran a failed probe into Wisconsin's 2020 election outcome. The event is a step toward full Senate confirmation proceedings, which are likely to face lengthy legal challenges. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican lawmakers are also unveiling a nearly $3 billion tax cut proposal. The newly introduced state assembly bill would lower the income tax rate for Wisconsinites earning between roughly $28,000 and $300,000 per year. It would also exempt up to $150,000 in retirement income for joint filers who are at least 67 years old. Republican Representative Mark Bourne says the plan would bring relief to Wisconsin's middle class.
We have a large surplus here, which means we collected too much money from the taxpayers, and we should return some of that.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers already rejected an element of the latest proposal, though. This summer, he vetoed tax cuts for Wisconsin's top two income brackets, which included the one targeted by this bill. Meanwhile, two Republican lawmakers are introducing legislation that would mandate childhood sexual abuse prevention to be taught in public schools. Margaret Faust reports that this follows a national trend.
Nicknamed Aaron's Law, the legislation has passed in 38 states and is being considered in all the rest. Senator André Jacques of DePere and Representative Rick Gundrum of Slinger are introducing the measure in Wisconsin. Jacques says he hopes giving students information will help empower victims to report childhood abuse. Carmen Petrie is the president and CEO of Sojourner Family Peace Center. It provides domestic violence prevention services in Wisconsin. She says education efforts like the one being considered are a good start.
What happens when a person comes forward? Are they believed? Are they demonized? Are they blamed for what's happening?
Jacques said it would be up to school boards to determine the specifics of how the program would be implemented. Margaret Faust, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin's private schools are receiving more taxpayer money than ever, but some conservative groups are objecting to those public funds being included in an online dashboard about school district finances. A 2021 bipartisan bill created an advisory committee to develop a dashboard which would give taxpayers easy access to financial information about schools. The Joint Finance Committee rejected a proposal by the state to include private schools. This came after a group, including School Choice Wisconsin, asked for the information to be omitted. Joint Finance Co-Chair Mark Bourne says the information is available elsewhere.
But certainly all of those things are already public information. So there's nothing stopping any school now from publishing that in any way, and it's all currently available.
Representatives from the Department of Public Instruction say the dashboard is meant to give taxpayers transparency. They also say it should include all schools which receive taxpayer dollars. A group representing service and support workers demonstrated outside of an Appleton hospital yesterday. As Joe Schultz reports, they say low wages are fueling turnover and also hurting patient care.
The union, representing 67 workers at ThetaCare's Appleton Hospital, has been negotiating with the health system since June. They say the healthcare providers, service, and support workers are underpaid, and the hospital's most recent offer was too low. Mark Heinrich has been a cook at ThetaCare for nearly a decade. He says ThetaCare offered a 2.5% wage increase that doesn't keep up with inflation.
Offering this as a low raise is showing us, the workers, how much ThetaCare values our work. In the end, not very much.
In a statement, ThetaCare said it continues to negotiate with the union in good faith. The health system also says the union hasn't put the most recent offer up to a vote. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we'll have a Wisconsin Life episode from someone in Appleton figuring out the best way to combat hate. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about being seen.
What's one of the best ways to combat hate? For Jesus Gregorio Smith of Appleton, it's to push back with love. He shares his story as part of the Home is Here project, which amplifies the voices of the growing number of Black, Asian, Native American, and Latino residents who call northeastern Wisconsin home.
I saw the sign up on Richmond Street in downtown Appleton, and I couldn't believe my eyes. It was just a sign flashing the F word, the one that rhymes with maggots. It was displayed across a business sign so everyone driving down the road could see it like it was nothing. All I could think about was, how could this be possible? Those poor queer kids who already have a hard time with family, within themselves being gay or bi or trans, what happens when they see this sign spewing so much hate? I had to do something. I've experienced my fair share of hatred and bigotry throughout my life. I was born and raised in the little old town of El Paso, Texas. My father, Johnny Smith, is an African-American man who was born in the 1940s, during legal segregation. While Dad was stationed at Fort Bliss, he traveled to Juarez, Mexico, with his fellow soldiers for drinks and fun nights. It's there he fell in love with my mother, Sonia Smith. Once they were married, they had 5 mixed-race children. I'm the youngest of the 5. I had the luxury and honor of having 2 cultural backgrounds and influences in my life. But that luxury also had costs. I recall the first time I was ever called the N-word, and it was by Mexican folks. And I thought to myself, don't we all have it bad enough? Why are we picking on each other? I'll never forget the time my mother gave me this serious talk in first grade because she was embarrassed with how feminine I was as a child. In fact, the first person to ever call me the F-word was my mother. My father instilled a particular vision of Black masculinity that was meant to protect my brothers and I in the world. He stressed that I needed to get a good job in computers in order to be successful. As I got older, I hid my gayness and only pursued paths that would make my family proud, keep me hidden, and keep the comments about me to a minimum. But college didn't lead to a career in computers. Instead, I faced my fears and embraced my identity. I began empowering fellow members of the queer LGBTQIA community. Eventually, I got my PhD in sociology with a focus on race, sexuality, and masculinity. And that's what brought me to Wisconsin, a job at Appleton's Lawrence University as an assistant professor of ethnic studies. Which brings me back to that homophobic sign I saw in downtown Appleton. I didn't let the hate deter me. So when I decided to protest under the sign, I gave it up even more to be exactly what the sign said I was. I put on a purple wig, a rainbow shirt, white high heels, and danced around to Born This Way by Lady Gaga. I filmed a silly video and took a photo. The photo went viral on social media. Not too long after, numerous Appleton residents showed up to fight against the hate, resulting in it coming down. I took that viral image, put it on a shirt and sold it, and raised $15,000 for the Sexual Assault Crisis Center. That is how you turn that hate into love. Through the process of finding oneself, embracing oneself, and living as one's authentic self, one can counter painful experiences and turn them into something different. I tried to hide myself from pain, but when I bravely faced it, I overcame it. It isn't easy, but I think we deserve to see a different world. Determining your own path, despite what others say, can help you break out of molds that confine you. I eventually embraced who I was and made a huge difference in people's lives, as well as my own.
Jesus Gregorio Smith is an associate professor of ethnic studies at Lawrence University. His story is part of the Home is Here project from the New News Lab, a local news collaboration in northeastern Wisconsin made of six media organizations, including WPR and the Green Bay Press Gazette. More information can be found at wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today on this Wednesday, the last Wednesday in August, can you believe it? I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. You know where you can find us, right in that podcast feed, anywhere you get your podcasts every single weekday morning. While you're there, subscribe, leave us that rating and review. Let us know which Wisconsin Life episodes you like. Maybe there was a recent feature that you really liked, or just tell me how you think I'm doing. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.